Hello, you're listening to the Business Artist Podcast. My name is Jan Melhoz, and today our guest is John Sonmez. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Thank you for going into our podcast. I actually started to follow you on social media because I was impressed by your mindset, by your bulldog mindset, because you really take 100% ownership. That was my impression for everything in your life. That is impressive, the way your approach is. Just for our listeners, just a bit of the key facts. So John has a YouTube channel, which is growing really quickly. I think it's about 200,000 now, above 200,000 subscribers. And you retired by the age of 33 from real estate investments. And now you want to grow the bulldog mindset to a huge business by helping people to also get this mentality to take ownership and to really reach all their dreams in their life, basically. Whatever they exactly want, they can reach it. So how, and before you've been a programmer, and I've seen pictures of you where we can see that you didn't look like you look today. You're absolutely fit. You run marathon in a very competitive time. You have a strong body full of muscles defined. And before you've been a bit overweight, I would say. Looked like a nerd, we can say. So how did this change come?
So it was, you know, it's not ever one thing. I think it's a series of things, but there's what I'd call, you know, breakthroughs that happen, right? Where all of a sudden you've got it. I sort of think of it as water boiling, right? There's a point where it's not boiling, right, but it's still being heated, and then in an instant, the water boils, right? It completely changes state. And it's not that it happened. You can't ask and say, well, why did the water boil right then? It was everything that was going on. And yes. So for me, there were a few of those kind of catalysts that happened in my life. One of the big ones was, I remember sort of early on when I was first making a transformation in my life, thinking to myself, you know, why not me, right? I remember thinking like, you know, there's nothing really that's different about me, right, than someone else that I admire, someone who is achieving the things that I want in life. And so I started imagining the kind of person that I want to be, like the better version of myself, you know, not someone else, but myself as if I were who I wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. And when I had that vision in my head, I just started pretending like I was already that person. I just started acting, playing the role. You know, I said, well, what would this John do? What would he say? What things would he, you know, what would he wear? What would he do in his daily, you know, day and go about and eat and everything? And I just started pretending to be that person. I just started playing that role. And what I found was that eventually you become what you play, right? You eventually make that transition, because really the thing that makes a person is the habits or what they do, right? And so, you know, I tell people all the time, because they ask me about, you know, running marathons and, you know, how do I become a marathon runner? And, you know, it's weird because I don't, you know, I never really set out to be a marathon runner, but if you run every day, you'll become a runner, right? Like that, like you will, like, but it's automatic. There's nothing you have to do to become a runner, right? There's no, you know, magic formula. There's no like, oh, he's a runner and he's not a runner. It's just, if you run every day, you'll become a runner, right? If you, you know, if you do certain things, you'll become whatever the actions are that you're doing. So.
Yes. And why did you, how did you know who you want to become? Because for many people, that's already the first challenge. They don't know what their purpose is, or they don't know, shall I become like the best programmer, or shall I become the runner? There's so many choices. So how did you know which version you wanted to become?
So I would say that it's at a deeper level than that, right? It's not necessarily, it has nothing to do with what job you want to do, or, you know, it's more about who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I have this belief. I believe that the person that you want to be, like that you admire, that you wish you could be, that's who you actually really are. But you've got all this cruft, all this crap from the world that's preventing you from being it. You're not truly free. You're not truly yourself. There's a reason why you want to be, you know, what you want, what you admire, right? What you aspire to. And it's because that is what you are, right? And I don't think you even have to, there's no figuring out, you know what it is. You know, you know, you have that within you to know, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to be. This is the kind of person that I want to be. This is, you know, you have that model, and maybe you project it onto someone else and you say, oh, I wish I could be like this person. Mm-hmm. Right. But really that's you, that's what you want. And you know, that's, it's a completely natural instinct that's within you because you know what you're capable of and you know, that's your potential. But most people never even come close to living that potential. They never get down to that level because in order to do that, you have to dig really deep. You have to really seek that freedom. And that's the hard part. So I don't think you have to really figure it out. I think you already know it's what you admire. It's what you aspire. It's the people that you idolize. That's who you want to be. And some people say, well, you know, that's being fake. You know, that's not who you're not really being yourself. You're being fake if you're trying to do this thing or trying to be this thing. And it's not true. There's a reason why you're trying to do that thing. There's a reason why you're trying to be that person. And it's because that's who you really are, but the world is telling you, no, you need to just, you know, you need to just be the closed off version of yourself that you've been so far in life. And that's, you know, I think that's the real danger, is that you can go your whole life like that and never realize your potential.
That's interesting. That's actually, I mean, I read a lot of books about it, and also I myself in action, I try to be the best version of myself, but that your biggest wishes, your dreams, basically, that is who you actually are, and that is what you should strive for, or you should act like this. That's a very good way to see it. Yes, that's inspiring. So what were your biggest wishes when you were in a phase where you weren't the best version of yourself? What wishes did you have? What did you want to be? Who do you want to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's hard to look back now and try to think what was it, you know, but there were definitely things that I knew that was just wrong, right? That I think some people might accept, right? I was really shy, okay? And I didn't want to be shy. I wanted to be a social person. And some people would say, oh, well, that's just your personality trait. But I know that's not. I know that it's fear. It's fear. It's not, I'm not just, you know, I don't really like the words introversion and extroversion because I don't believe there's introverts and extroverts. I believe that we all are introverts or extroverts depending on the context of the situation, right? You can take the most introverted person and you put them in a situation they're very comfortable with in a competitive environment that they excel, and they will be extroverted very much. They will be yelling in people's faces. They'll be, you know, they'll be extroverted. So, you know, so my point is really that it's, you know, I knew that was just a limitation that was holding me back, right? So I wanted to be that guy that could be social, that had those skills. I wanted to be someone who was athletic, that could take pride in being fit. You know, I didn't want to be lazy. I wanted to have mental toughness. I wanted to be disciplined and to feel like I was a warrior, even though at that time I was very far from being what anyone would call a warrior, right? Those were the visions that I had in my head, right? And that's what I really set out to become.
Mm-hmm. And so let's say, for example, you didn't want to be shy, but I imagine it is a huge barrier to do this first step. So even if you're shy now, but you want to be a social person, you want to maybe go to people and approach them proactively. So how do you just imagine, okay, I'm a proactive social person now, and then you do the first step and go to people? Or how did you push yourself to do that?
Yeah, so I remember as a young man, I remember setting up challenges for myself. I remember one day I was like, okay, I'm going to the mall, and I was deathly afraid to talk to girls. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to 50. I'm not leaving until I talk to 50 girls. And I set the bar really high, and I was like, you know, but you got to do it, because what I told myself was, I was like, okay, you know, it's not going to get easier, right? It's not going to, like, there's no point in time where things are going to be easier. You might as well tackle it now, because it can only get harder, right? Phobias and fears only increase over time, right? And so there's a combination, right? I think there's a combination of, one, stepping into that role, right? Of saying, okay, well, I'm not, we classify ourselves, right? We label ourselves a lot of people label themselves as lazy, right? Or we might label ourselves as shy, right? But
yes,
the words we use are very powerful because our subconscious is listening. Mm-hmm. And so instead of saying I'm shy, maybe I say, you know, in the past I've done things that would be considered shy, but I'm really not shy. I'm working towards increasing my extroversion. I'm working towards that, right? And you know, you could say in the past I've done things that would have been considered shy, but that's, or in the past I've done things that would be considered lazy. In the past I've done things, I've had trouble controlling my temper, but that's completely different than saying I'm shy, I'm lazy, I'm an angry person, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are basically bound to our identities. Whatever our identity is, our actions will flow from that identity. So one is changing that identity to no longer associated with that, and to say I'm in progress. I'm a work in progress, right? We're all works in progress, and that means that we don't have a solid identity. It's fluid. It's fluid. We're growing towards a destination, right? We have a destination identity, not a current one. It's dynamic, and so I think the first thing for me was to basically step into that role and to play that part, to say, okay, well, if I am this guy that is not shy, that is able to go and talk to people and be social, then how do I act and what do I do? I need to play this role. So walking into that role, but then that's not enough, because you can play the role, but like you said, there's still the fear. And that's the second big thing, is to realize that emotions like fear, you cannot control directly. You cannot control. There's no need to be ashamed of being afraid, because it's not within your control. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how many facts you learn, if you're afraid of a thing, it's an automatic nervous system response. You have no control over it in your conscious mind, but you do have control over courage. Courage can be chosen at any point in time. Fear is automatic. You can't control your fear, but you can always choose to have courage. And that's the other piece of this for any kind of real growth, is you're going to be put into an uncomfortable situation and it's going to be fear. And you're just going to have to make the choice to have courage. And the beautiful thing about that is, like I said, you can't control fear. Fear is automatic. Courage is a choice. And not only that, but as you continue to make the courage choice, you develop that muscle. You actually become more courageous. You can actually develop that skill. And then what that does is it makes fear irrelevant, because fear doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter if you have silly fears, you're afraid of things. A lot of times those fears end up going away, or they seem like they go away because your courage is so much greater than them. But that's the one thing that we can all do, is we can have courage. We can't control our fears, but we can control our courage. And so that was the two things for me, was one, shifting that identity and making the new identity that doesn't identify with me being a shy person. And two, just facing up, just realizing that it's never going to get better. It's not going to automatically go away. Fears don't disappear on their own. You just have to have courage and making that choice.
Mm-hmm. How did you find that out, that you have to, for example, that the antidote to the fear is to build up the courage muscle? How did you find this out, that you have to, that that's how you overcome it?
There, you know, it's funny, because the way that I'm saying it now, it's as if I just discovered these things and then did them, but that's not how it is. It's, I'm looking back and reflecting,
yeah,
from the experience, right? And I can give you a succinct definition of what these things are, but at the time I didn't know what I was just bumbling in the dark and sometimes going in the right door, right? And that's what happened. So, you know, but one of the experiences in my life that really led me to this was, I had this point in my life where I was letting fear take a lot of my life. Okay, so I was afraid to fly in airplanes, I was afraid of roller coasters, and you know, and I would get to the point where I was just like everyday things. I was nervous to drive in the rain or the snow or in the dark. And it was like, you know, I was letting all these kind of phobias come into my life. And I hit this one point where, because of that, I believe I started to have some panic attacks. And that was almost, it was it almost destroyed my entire life. Like I couldn't even function at work. I would go to work, and I remember getting into work. I was a software developer at the time, and I would go sit at my desk, and then I'd immediately pretty much go to the bathroom, and I would just sit on the toilet, just like with my head down, just waiting for time to pass. Cause I couldn't deal. Like I was just, the panic attacks were so great. I feel like I couldn't breathe. And this went on for like almost a week and a half or 2 weeks, but I couldn't do anything. I knew I was going to get fired pretty soon. And I tried everything. And what I really tried to do was I tried to suppress the fear, right? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, let me pretend like I'm not afraid. Let me distract myself. Let me read a book. Let me play a video game. Doesn't work, right? No matter what, I'm trying to distract myself. I'm trying to like just pass the time, go to sleep, whatever it is, but nothing makes it disappear. I read about it. I read and you know, how to get rid of the fear. Like that, this is an irrational fear, right? Just like, you know, before with airplanes, it's like, yeah, I know it's more safe than driving a car, but it doesn't matter because you're, you know, the part of your brain, the primitive lizard part of your brain that controls your fear, it doesn't care what the facts are. It doesn't care about your, you know, the front part of your brain that controls the cognitive function. It doesn't matter, right? So finally, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember I tried everything. And I heard this guy when I was searching, maybe it was on YouTube or somewhere on the web. And he said, you know, when you get a panic attack, don't fight it. Don't try and suppress it. Don't try and make it go away. Instead, just like try and turn it up to 11, like make it more intense, like feel the fear. Don't ignore the fear, feel the fear. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thought, well, you know what, there's really nothing to lose here. So I might as well try this. And so I did it. So I was having the panic attack and I allowed myself to feel the fear. I didn't try to block it out. I tried to intensify the fear. I was like, okay, we're going to die. Let's see what it feels like. Let's go for this, right? There's nothing to lose here. I can't, you know, I'm not able to harm myself by allowing myself to feel fear, right? If there's some physical thing that's killing me, then it's killing me. It doesn't matter if I feel it or not, right? So I allowed myself to just feel the intensity of that fear, and it almost instantly cured, right? And what I realized, you know, I mean, there's two things in that. One is that emotions that are not felt get trapped in the body, and that's what causes a lot of our psychoses and a lot of our aberrations and issues, because they're trapped. We haven't experienced them. We haven't felt them in their entirety, and so they affect us. They stay with us. So feeling that fear was critical. But the second thing was that, again, it was courage there that popped up, right? It's like, you have to just take on the fear. There's no way that you could push fear out. No way you could distract yourself. No way you could logically justify away the fear. The only solution was the courage to feel the fear 100% and allow yourself to feel that fear. And when you do, then you become free. And since then, after that, I applied that to flying airplanes. I did the same thing. I got like a window seat and I watched the plane take off, and it cured it. And then I did the same thing with roller coasters. And that was where I sort of realized this, you know, those two things. One, that you have to experience and feel the fear. Do not try and block it out. And number two, you have to have courage. You just have to make that choice, and it never gets easier. And every single one of those fearful situations, it's no easier or harder for you or anyone else. It's just whether you make the choice or not.
Yeah. Amazing. The way you say it, it's really, I really can see that makes totally sense. And I think it's very inspiring to try it out and to feel, I think it's fears, but it's maybe also like traumas, feel your emotions of, I don't know, hatred, or that you've been let down, or other people didn't love you. I think it works for all those emotions, right?
Yeah, definitely, yes. For sure.
To really feel them, and that's a way you can overcome the blocks from it. Yeah, it really makes sense the way you say it. And what I also found interesting, you also said in one of your vlogs that to have this mentality which you have, and this bulldog mindset, and to really have this high performance habits every day, motivation doesn't work. You won't be able to endure it only by motivation. So that was interesting for me. Can you elaborate on that? Why not? And what else do you need instead of motivation?
Sure. Oh, real quick before I
step
into that, on the emotion part, I just want to clarify so that people that are listening aren't confused. It's feeling them, but it's letting them go.
Yeah.
It's experiencing it and then letting it go. Because some people will say, oh, well, my anger fuels me. And that's not, it's not good. It's not, it doesn't fuel you. You can't ignore the anger. You're angry. Okay. It's a human emotion. You feel it and then you let it go. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you keep the anger, if you keep the bitterness and the hurt and you feel like you're now justified, it sends you down the wrong path.
So. Understood. Release it, feel it to release it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, for motivation, you know, it's equivalent to passion to some degree, right? When people say, you know, should you follow your passion? And what I mean by that is that it comes and goes. It waxes and wanes. You can't count on motivation, right? I remember, you know, most of the big projects I've ever completed that have been beneficial in my life, I started out very gung-ho, ready to tackle this thing, right? I remember my first book I wrote, when I was writing chapter 1, 2, and 3, I was motivated. I was excited. Okay, I'm writing my book. But you know what? By the time I got to chapter 10, I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't really want to write a book anymore. Yeah, screw this. I'm done, right? And I didn't feel motivated anymore. So if I gave up at that point, if I stopped just because I don't feel motivated, it must not be my passion, must not be my thing. Right? I should find some other passion. I must have picked the wrong thing. Then I would have completed it. And I spent a good amount of my life. I mean, most people have what I call the closet of broken dreams, which is some closet where you've got some soccer cleats in there. You've got a yellow belt from karate. You've got an old guitar, right? All of these things that you never did, that you started, that you didn't finish.
Yes.
Right? And it's because you had good intentions going into it. When you bought your guitar and you're like, oh, I'm going to practice every day and I'm going to get so good and I'm going to be able to play Stairway to Heaven or whatever it is. You know, you had good intentions, you had motivation, but the reason why you failed and the reason why so many of us essentially waste our lives, waste our times, because things that you don't finish are a waste, is because we haven't learned to work without motivation. And that was one of the biggest factors that completely changed my life and my success was learning that, you know what? I don't have to feel like it to get up in the morning and to go fucking run. I don't have to feel like it to get up in the morning and write the fucking chapters of that book. I just do it. I just do it because I have to do it because that's what I committed to doing. And it waxes and wanes, right? You get to some point and, you know, if you use guitar or a musical instrument for an example, when you first start playing a musical instrument, let's say guitar, you're going to be really excited. You're going to want to practice the chord. You're going to want, right? Your fingers are going to hurt, but you're going to be, you know, you might be playing with bleeding fingers because you're so excited about the thing. And then you'll hit some point real quickly in, right, where most people drop off, where you'll lose that motivation. You won't feel like doing it anymore. But if you can push through, right, if you can just push through and still practice every day, if you can still keep on going, then you'll hit some other point. You'll hit this point where you hit the level of mastery, or you'll hit this new level, this new high that most people don't reach, and you'll have motivation again because you'll realize how good you are, and it'll be fun. And because you've put in so much time, and that will inspire you to keep going, and you'll keep on pushing. But then you'll hit this other block again where you'll plateau again, and you'll just need to put in the work and put in the work and put in the work before you feel the motivation again. And that's how life is. And unfortunately, most people aren't taught this in life. And what they do is they give up the very first time they hit the first plateau and they say, well, it must not be my passion. And that's a very, very dangerous thing to do in life because we only have so much time. And every project that you start that you don't finish is a waste of your time, of your life.
So how do you do it? You wish, you have the wish that you want to, that you want to, you feel you are this person and you wish that you master this skill. And then you say, okay, from now on, it's my habit. And no matter what, I'm going to do it every day. And then you do it every day. Is that the process you're implementing for yourself?
Yeah, it's really just deciding that, you know, I have one thing that I say is, like some people say, do one thing that scares you every day. And I say, do one thing that you hate every day. I think doing something you hate will make you stronger, right? It's like just realizing it's commitment is what it really is. Is it's when you start a thing, you commit to finish it, right? If I'm going to write a book, it's going to get written. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how I feel later, right? I'm going to be running a marathon on Sunday in a couple of days from now. And I committed to that. It's going to, like, when I put the training schedule on my calendar, I don't miss a run. I haven't missed one run in the entire, 5 months of training because I've committed to that. Now, did I feel like running every day? No. 90% of the time, I probably didn't feel like running. Probably only about 10% of the time, but I committed to it. And because I know at a higher level that committing to things and getting them done, that's what brings the rewards. That's what brings the actual success in life. And really, the greatest feeling that we have, some things bring us happiness. And unfortunately, we choose the things that make us happy versus the things that make us fulfilled. And happiness is temporary, just like motivation. And when you're chasing happiness, it's a never ending chase. Like you're never going to be able to catch up with it. But when you're going after fulfillment, it's a different story, because the things that bring us fulfillment, if you look back on the things that really make you feel like you did a good job, like you're a valuable person that brings that true fulfillment in life, that it was a worthwhile thing, it's usually the most painful, hard things that you went through. That's what it is. It's not the fun. You're not like, oh, when I went and partied and got wasted, man, that I'd link back on that memory and I just feel so fulfilled. You're like, oh yeah, I had a good time. Right. But yeah. When you're like, oh man, remember when I lived in that fucking studio apartment and I could barely make the rent and I was just like working 18-hour days and shit and I finally started the business, or I finally got the job, or I finally, whatever it is, that you look back on that and you feel fulfilled by that. You're like, man, I'm glad I did that, right? And that's how it is. And so, you just have to have the higher perspective to say that, look, I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to make sacrifices in my life in order to achieve great things. And to achieve great things, I must do things that I hate. And if you get accustomed to doing things that you hate, then and you realize that that's just reality, and that's how you achieve the great things, then they're not so bad. Then you don't try to fight it, and you don't feel like you have to have motivation in order to do things.
Yeah, I mean, to have this habit to do every day something you hate—that's wow. That's definitely. I mean, I don't think there will be many things you're afraid of if you do that. So, can you give some examples of things you do daily which you hate?
Yeah. So for the most part, my diet is I eat once a day. I fast until 5 o'clock every day. So I only eat one meal. I'm doing it a little different now because I'm 3 days out from the marathon. So I'm trying to carb load, but that's every day pretty much for 5 years. That's what I do.
Why is that? Because of intermittent fasting or?
There's a few different reasons. One of them, yeah, it's a form of intermittent fasting. I find that I've built the best physique I've been able to build by doing that, because fasting is muscle sparing. And so I can actually stay lean and stay pretty big while doing that. But some of it also is just the mental discipline aspect of it, right? It's something that I hate. Who doesn't, you want to eat, right? But it makes you tougher. It makes you have more grit. If you can go an entire day and only eat once during that day, and that's your life, it makes you tougher, right? So that's one of the things. Another one would be the running, right? And I don't want to get up and run a 20-mile run, 4 hours out there. It's not exactly a fun thing to do, but do it, right? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's a matter of doing, of writing that I don't want to write if I'm writing a book, right? I mean, so some of these things, they oscillate, right? I might actually like it or enjoy it at some time, but I do it anyway. But I always try to figure out at least something. Like, my day has to be hard in some way, right? There needs to be some workout, something that is going to be something that I dislike greatly, that I'm going to do anyway, so that I don't become soft.
Mm-hmm. So when you notice that fasting, running is no problem for you anymore, then you look for new things you hate.
Right. Well, you can always take it to the next level of extreme, right? You know, I mean, I'm contemplating signing up for like 100-mile race now, like an ultra marathon. So we'll see.
Yes, that is a bulldog mindset. I actually did the test on your website. The bulldog said my score was 71.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us your score?
Well, I based the test off of my personal habits. So my score is 100 on there.
It's 100. Have you ever had somebody else who has 100?
Yeah, there's some that are up there for sure. Yeah.
So how do you get somebody who is a 50 maybe, or maybe even a 71 like me, but has the wish to become as close as possible to 100? How do you get them there?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends on what they need, right? So a lot of people that are really set on increasing their score, and again, the score is just kind of a fun thing. It's, you know, it's not a very scientific measurement, but it's certain key points that I know, like if you're doing this and you're probably this kind of person. So people that are super serious about it, I do one-on-one coaching with them, and then we do monthly coaching, and I work on specifically, all right, what is it? What is making them weak? Right? Where can they improve? But in general, for people to raise their score, one of the big things is being a finisher, which we sort of talked about before, the working without motivation.
Yes.
I find that just by being a finisher, because if you look at most of the things on that quiz, like how many books do you read and, you know, per week, and most people don't, they pick up one book and they never finish the book. They start reading the book, right? I was reading some statistics that said that like something like 90% of books only get, you know, only the first 10 pages get read or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was some ridiculous number. You're like, wow, really? People start books and they never finish them. And that's the case, right? And so many of the other things in life, right? From starting a business to, you know, whatever you're undertaking, most of the time, most of those projects, writing a book, creating a software application, they never get finished. So one of the biggest things I would say is being a finisher, because when you start finishing things, you'll get a lot more done, right? And then, you know, the other one too is just to be able to, like we just were talking about, working without motivation. It's huge. It's a huge thing, and they both go together, right? If you can finish things, whether you want to or not, and you can work without motivation, you can push yourself, you know, you make that forward movement every single day, then you're going to, you know, it's going to have a cumulative effect over time. So it's these little things. It's constantly moving the bar just a little bit further, right? If someone were to try and jump into my daily routine, you know, without having built up to it, it would be pretty damn hard, right? What I do every day perhaps might be so extreme that someone would say, oh, I could never, you know, they might be able to do it for one day and say, I can't do this again tomorrow. But I'm used to it because I've built that bar up over time. And so it's the same thing. I think you have a level and you're committed and you're consistent, and then you raise that level, and then you're committed and you're consistent at that level, and you raise that level. And pretty soon, you know, what was hard for you before is not necessarily hard. It's just what it is, right? You've just accepted that as your reality. And I think that's really the key. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, components definitely within bulldog mindset. A lot of it is based on Stoic philosophy, right? A lot of the things that hold us back are emotions that we don't let go of, right? Having expectations on other people, allowing people to put expectations on us, right? Letting go of all of that is a big part of it, because once you do that, you free up so much more of your time, so much more of your energy, right? You're able to have more sovereignty over yourself. I think that's one of the biggest things. One of the biggest things I teach also is personal freedom, which, you know, to me, freedom is the ability to exert your will into the world, right? That's ultimately what freedom is. And the things that hold you back from doing that are not the things that most people think they are. It's not a prison cell. It's yourself. It's your mind. It's
shame, your inability. I think shame is a big part often, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you feel like you're unworthy, right? You don't deserve it. You can't do this thing. But we have to get rid of those barriers in order to be able, you know, it's, I think of it as this idea, like, do you want to be driving the car that is your life or duct taped in the back seat with someone else driving? And if you say, you know, for one example, if you say to yourself, I want to wake up tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and go run 5 miles. I'm going to do that. And you set your alarm for 5 a.m. Okay. Or whatever it is. And, you know, and the alarm goes off and you just keep on sleeping and you don't do it. Then to me, that's, I know this sounds silly, but that's the scariest thing in the world to me. And let me tell you why.
Yes.
Because that means that what I want in my life, what's in my head, what I'm thinking, my will, I can't even do it myself. So my life is just a series of random events. If something happens to come into my life, I am in the backseat of the car. Someone else is driving. That's scary because you may never gain control again. You only have a few moments of lucid clarity in your life, a few moments where you get the chance to take control of the wheel. And when you get those moments, you better fucking do something. You better take control of that wheel, because if you let that go and you decide that what you decide in your mind, what your will is, you will allow yourself to not do, to break faith with yourself, to break commitment with yourself, you're completely not in control of your life. You're just a passenger. You're just a spectator watching the show, and you're just subject to the whims and of fate. And what other people, you know, and it's the same thing with emotions, right? If people can manipulate you, if someone can make you angry or make you sad or make you, you know, then they are able to play you like a puppet, whether they're intending to do it or not. You're not in control. You're not the one steering. Someone else is steering. The world is steering. Random events are steering. It doesn't matter, but you're not the one steering. So, you know, my ultimate goal in life is to be the driver all the time as much as possible. Right, to be able to actually steer that car, and it's scary to me to think that to let go of that, to say that, you know, because once you let go, once you're in the back seat, it's a series of events. You don't have that control anymore, and like I said, there's very few moments in life where you have that lucidness where you say, wait a minute, hold on, this, like, I can grab control of this. And if you don't do it, then you don't know when that the next opportunity. You don't know when the next rest stop is on the road, when the next pit stop, when the car is pulling over again and give you a chance.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think obviously, I mean, if we are honest, probably 99% of the people sitting in the back seat and are not taking the driver position, but the majority of them would love to be in the driver's seat. And so I think many people would love to have this bulldog mindset, what you have, but they don't know how to develop it. So do you think that coaching is, if you have this, let's say, the wish, you really want it, you also say, I would sacrifice a lot to get there, but I don't know how to get there. Do you think you can, your coaching, for example, or from somebody else, can lead them there? Is coaching a good method to reach this strong, rough mentality, tough mentality?
It's not enough. And it can only point out the the way, the path, but it can't make someone walk it, right? It doesn't matter if I coach someone who is not on the path, who is not committed to the path. I can tell them, I can't carry them, I can, you know, whatever I tell them, because it's not a cognitive thing, it's a decision that you make, right? And it begins with a decision to not break faith with yourself, to be 100% committed to what you say, right? To be able to trust yourself, right? Because we lose faith with ourselves, we stop trusting ourselves, because we say something that we're going to do to ourselves, and we don't do it. And then when we say something in the future, we're like, yeah, but I'm not really going to do it. Right? It doesn't mean anything. We know that we're liars to ourselves. So it's false alarm. It's the boy crying wolf all the time. And we have to stop that. We have to stop and say, no, no more, no more. When I say I'm going to do something to myself, not to anyone else, I don't care what anyone else thinks. When I tell myself I'm going to do something, I do it. And that's where it begins. And that's the first step. And maybe it's just a baby step. Maybe you don't make very big commitments to yourself at first until you can hold those commitments, but then you expand those commitments. And that's the path, right? To develop that mindset, you know, and I do think that there's a lot of other pieces to it, right? One of the things that I found in common, and that's the reason why I put that on the quiz, is I find that the people that have the bulldog mindset, they're well-read. They've read hundreds and hundreds of books. I don't feel like you can have, I mean, we have one life and a limited set of experiences. The average person maybe has read like 20 books in their life, maybe 30 books in their life. If you take someone who's read 1,000 books, how much more experience and wisdom and knowledge do they have? But not just, you know, knowledge, but wisdom from seeing and from other people's eyes and perspective, right? And that's part of it. I don't think that you can really advance very far down the path unless you've been exposed to a large swath of the philosophy that's out there in life to understand these perspectives, to put these things together, to make these connections. You're just missing so much. And so I think that's one element of it. I think another element of it is physical discipline, right? Mm-hmm. You cannot become mentally disciplined. The fastest way to become mentally strong and tough and to be mentally disciplined is through physical discipline. When you push your body to the limits and you have to go beyond your pain threshold, it makes you stronger. It makes you tougher. It's the only way to get to that point that will condition you to do things that you don't want to do mentally, right? Is you have to do it physically. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a huge component of it as well. And you have to put those pieces together, and it's just a continuous journey down that road. It's a path that I'm still going down and still growing and learning. But yeah, if someone wants to develop the bulldog mindset, those are the places to start, right? They have to, it's really a lot of both the inner work and the outer work. You have to push yourself physically, but you also have to push yourself mentally. You have to demand more of yourself. You have to introspect and look and really analyze, what are you doing? Why do you react this way, right? Why do you do the things that you do? You know, become your own psychologist and fix your issues. And a lot of it will be worked out just by, you know, it's amazing how much just doing hard shit is therapy because it puts everything, it makes things relative, right? If you run, you know, 20 miles without eating any food, you know, for a day, and you know, at that point, like when some trivial shit happens, someone says something at work or whatever it is, or, you know, someone insults you in some way, you're like, your reaction is dampened because it's nothing. Like, you just went through, you put yourself through hell. So if some bad thing happens, a bill comes up that you didn't expect, your car gets hit or something, big fucking deal. It's not a big fucking deal. No. Yeah.
So. Yes. So I encourage everybody. It's a fun thing. And for me, the 71 score was also motivation. So I think if you go there and you don't have the 100, you will be motivated to work on you. So I think go on bulldogmindset.com and do the test. Can you, what were the pillars? I think one was reading books. Then it was also personal wealth. It was approaching people. If you're attracted to them, going proactively and approach them, right? Right. Physical workout, and what else?
So the main, like, for bulldog mindset, the main pillars, I mean, mindset is the core, but then there's the financial, the fitness, and then the social, the dating, mm-hmm. social, right? Yes. And really, you know, I focus on men, and I teach men how to be men. That's really what the kind of message is. And it's, you have to have those three areas of your life conquered if you're really going to feel like you're stepping into your masculinity. Otherwise, you're going to feel inadequate.
Yeah. So also you have the YouTube channel, which has great videos on there. You are on Instagram, everywhere under Bulldog Mindset, right? Bulldog Mindset is the YouTube channel. It's your Instagram account. It's
exactly
website. Yeah. Where else are good locations on the web to find you?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the best. Is probably YouTube is where I'm the most active. So, but if you just go to bulldogmindset.com and take the quiz there, you'll get on my, I'll send you emails with my videos and everything. So,
and you can, if somebody is really interested, they can book one-on-one sessions with you over Zoom or Skype where you train them, or if they live in the area, even personally meet you and you would train them. Correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And have you had experiences where you took somebody and I don't know, do you know Dan Pena?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So he always said, I want to like Forrest Gump, you know, I want to get people over the line, bring them somewhere. So did you already have experience where you brought somebody from like maybe a weak hair mindset to a bulldog mindset?
Yeah, definitely. You know, quite a few people. And that's the goal for all my coaching clients, is they usually have some kind of other goal, right? Like financial or something like that. But we always end up working on the mindset, because the mindset is the critical piece of it. So I'm trying to think of some good ones. One of them was a really good financial success story is, I've got a coaching client that I had for a while, and, you know, he didn't know what to do. He just wanted to build a business, and, you know, we went through and came up with some ideas for him, and he started a YouTube channel. And again, this was one of those things where it was like, he was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to work my job and then do this. Like, this is like too much. Like I don't want to spend, after I finish working my job, spend another 4 hours working again to build this business. Like, and, you know, and we talked about the idea that it's like, well, you know what, then just accept that your life is going to be what it is, because this is the only way. Like, it's not going to get easier, right? Again, it comes down to the mindset, right? Someone can know exactly what to do from a business perspective, but if they don't have the mindset, if they don't have that bulldog mindset, then, you know, I told them, well, no one else is coming to save you, right? You want to become retired. You want to build a business. You want to become wealthy someday. I don't see, how do you see it happening? Do you feel like someone's going to come in and make it easier for you, or that maybe if you wait a year, that'll be easier for you? It won't, right? So, you know, he got down to business. he started doing it, and he said, you know, I hate this, but I'm doing it. And, you know, and he didn't think he could make it a week, and he made it a year. And after about a year, he had built up a little bit of an audience, not even a huge audience on YouTube, and had an email list. And he launched his first product, and he made $80,000 in a couple of days on that first product, right? Oh. You know, huge success. And now he makes continual money off of that product every month. But it was, again, you know, I helped him with the business side, right? With the marketing and how to create the product and sell the product and all that. But you could go there. I mean, there's plenty of that information's out there, right? There, you can find plenty of people. The key thing that matters, again, in his case, was the mindset. Because had he given up, had he thought it's too hard and not been willing to do that, right? Had he not been willing to work without motivation, it wouldn't matter. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but the mindset is the key. That's what you have to do. You have to be able to just, you know, dig in and keep on going, even though you don't want to anymore and it's miserable. But that, you know, you have to grind it out. I call it paying the dues. So
although he had mainly this financial goal, did you also work with him on the physical and on the social part?
That's what ended up, well, it for him, it was mostly working on the financial goal, but mm-hmm. by developing the mindset, the other areas change as well, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing is, like, when you dig in, like, developing that mindset, when someone develops the mindset, like I'm talking about, where they reject the victim mindset completely, where they take 100% responsibility for their lives, you will see everything else with minimal guidance, you'll see everything else change, right? Those people will start to push themselves physically. They will start to push themselves socially. They'll start to push all of their boundaries, because the thing that's holding them back, or what has been holding them back, has been the fear, or, you know, the victim mindset of choosing to decide that it's not their fault, that they're not in control of it, that they're just, it's just a circumstance, right? When you let go of that and you embrace the idea that, hey, I'm the only one here. No one else is coming to save me. If I want something, I have to go and get it. No one's going to take any pity on me in life. Then all of those areas that you want in life, if you ever want to achieve this goal, you're going to have to do it, and you're going to have to do it now. And that those, all of those things start to improve. So it depends on the person, right? Like I said, in this case, we worked mostly on the mindset in order to help him to reach a financial goal. But, you know, in the course of that, he's improved in other areas of his life. But some guys that I work with, they need the full treatment from the very beginning, that their life is a mess in all those areas. But again, what it usually comes down to is the mindset. So I usually focus on one specific thing, and because it's blocking them, whatever it is, like, what, you know, you've got this goal, right? You've got this thing that you want. You even have the knowledge to get there, but why aren't you getting there? And every time it's the same answer. It's because you're weak. You're not fucking tough enough to do it, right? You don't have the grit yet. So let's develop that. And once we do that and we clear that blockade out, then, you know, all the other areas, right? We've worked on the core thing, the key thing that's holding them back. Because most people know how to, you know, do you really not know how to get six pack abs, right? I mean, everyone knows how, okay? Right? If you want to build muscle, do you really, you know, is it like, oh, the only reason I don't have muscles is because I don't know how to build muscle? No. Okay. You could Google in 5 minutes and find the answer to that, right? It's not knowledge. Okay. Even making money and building a business, right? It's like, yeah, okay, maybe you don't know how to make $10 million. Granted. Okay. Maybe you lack the knowledge there, but do you know how to climb up the ladder at your job? Do you know how to make the next, you know, how to start a business? Do you know the basics of that? Or do you know where you could find that information? Sure. You know, do you know how to write a book? If you have the knowledge for the most part of most of the things that you want to achieve in life. It's just that you don't have the follow through. You don't have the ability, the toughness required to do it. And so that's usually the missing piece.
Yes, I mean, that's really important, because my podcast is mainly targeted towards people who already have this growth mindset, who might have read all the right books, but their problem is really to implement it into their lives and to really to do it, to just do the work. And I think it's just like a revelation to me in this talk we have. I think really what you're saying, to just implement, just do it, whatever. If you feel like it, if you don't feel it, if you just do it, it will happen. It will happen.
Right. Yeah.
But obviously,
and it doesn't matter if you get the result. The result. I think too many people are chasing the result instead of trusting the process. It's not like, the reason why we set goals is not to achieve the goals. It's not what you get from the goals. Because again, like I said, that the happiness that you get is fleeting from achieving a goal. The reason why we set goals is because of who we have to become in the process of achieving that goal. It pushes us. It causes us to grow. Our whole point in life is to grow. Our whole purpose in life is to grow, to develop ourselves, right? Take the marathon, right? If I give you a marathon medal and I'm like, here you go, here, congratulations, here's your marathon medal, right? What would you, I mean, does it, it has no meaning. It has no value. If you run it and you get the medal, you think that you want the medal, but it's the actual training. It's the actual process you went through to go through it. It's the same thing. You know, it's funny because everyone's like, oh, I wish I could be rich. I wish I could make all this money. And again, it's the same thing. If I gave you $10 million, yeah, I mean, you'd be happy. You'd think you would. You're for about a year or so.
For a short time, you're happy.
Only
for a short time.
Yeah, for a short time, you'd be happy. But you'd feel like you didn't deserve it. You wouldn't feel proud of it. You wouldn't feel like you've earned it. You haven't become anything in the process of, right? We do the things in order to, because really all we need to be happy is a couple of friends and some beers and a pizza. That's it. Like the peak of happiness that you're ever going to experience in life, I always tell people this, is going out with a couple of good friends and having some laughs over some beers and some good foods, some pizza. That's it. Then nothing really is much more happier than that. That's pretty much the top. Like if you think about it, when you laughed really hard and you had a good time. So you could do that having no money at all, being completely broke and homeless. So there must be another reason why you're going after those things. And the reason why, or the purpose is who you become. Because the person who can make $10 million, in order for you to become that person, that's a journey. That's going to stretch you. That's going to push you. The person that can run the 26 miles, that's a journey. That's a, like, you have to become something different in the process of achieving that, right? All of those things to build the business, right? You know, it's not necessarily the money that the business builds you or makes you. It's the fact that you created something, that you went through the hardship, you went through the trial, you built something, right? And you did it on your own, essentially. That's what makes you feel good about it. And it's the growth process that we go through. So don't focus on the results, focus on doing the thing. And then the results will come or they won't come. You don't have direct control of the results, but you do have direct control over doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. What are you, so you, there was a point when you imagined who you want to be, and then you just acted like this. So who are you imagining right now who you want to be?
That's a good question. Yeah. So, you know, I've got specific areas that I'm working on, right? I would like to be, I can see myself as someone who is even more social, less afraid, right? Who says more of what they have on their mind. Someone who is more, even more strict with what the commitments they make to themselves, right? To follow exactly the schedule, to not deviate, right? To not pick up my phone and check social media when during the day when I'm working, right? There's specific, it's much more specific now of the specific things that I need to root out of my life, right? To not go and screw up the diet, to make the bad choice, right? Unless I've decided ahead of time that I'm going to do this specifically, but not to make those choices in the spur of the moment, right? Those type of thing. I'd like to be, I see myself as someone who is a, you know, the biggest marathoner, biggest fastest marathoner, right? That exists, right? I feel like that's something that I'm aspiring to do, you know? So yeah. So I kind of have that vision. It's sort of hard to describe in words the vision that I have, because mm-hmm. I can see that person in, you know, in their, I can only describe sort of the attributes that they have.
Yeah. Well, John, it's very inspiring. I'm very glad that you gave us these insights. I think for everybody who wants to be independent, free, like you say, wants to reach their dreams, it's a fantastic method to reach it and to be fulfilled. As you said, happiness is something which is probably easier to reach, but if you go after it, you will never really have the total happiness. But fulfillment you can have if you go out of your comfort zone, if you every day do the things which you told yourself you want to do, no matter how you feel with it, and then you will, and then just to feel the growth on yourself is probably unbelievable fulfilling, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Good. So we said www.bulldogmindset.com. Yep. Is the website. Also Bulldog Mindset on YouTube, a great YouTube channel. I think everybody will be inspired if they follow more of your content. And really thank you for giving us this insight, John.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Good. Thanks a lot. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You too.